Hey, Regen, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. Good to be with you tonight. So glad you're here, especially if it's your first time. I was out at the welcome desk a few weeks ago when one of the Regen participants approached me and said he needed to use my phone. He had his phone wasn't able to work. His group got released late, and he just wanted to let his wife knew that he was going to be coming home a little later than he anticipated. It was important for him to build trust with his wife. So I was in a moment in this place of aware of his need. I was aware that he had a need and I had a way to meet it. I accepted the fact that his phone didn't work. He showed that to me very clearly. I believed him that he had a wife who needed to know about it. And I also believed that I had a phone that could help him. And I came to that point of action. Would I trust him? Now, if you want to see my cell phone, it's definitely an old man's cell phone. That's a combination wallet, which means if I give him this, I give him everything. My credit cards, my cash card, not a lot in the bank, and my ID. And so would I trust him or not? We're going to talk about trust tonight. As we are talking over the steps of Regen, we've already talked to you about admit. Part of what it means to experience regeneration is to admit that we can't help ourselves. Chuck spoke to us about that a few weeks ago. Last week, Zig led us in a conversation where he talked about what it means to believe. And tonight, I'm going to talk about step three, and that is trust. What does it mean to trust Jesus? What action do we need to take as we trust in him? If you have a Bible, let me encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to jump right in verse 1. I'm going to read the 9 verses from this chapter, then I'm just going to highlight a couple of phrases for us to focus on. So, without any further ado, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Two of the most important words in the whole Bible. Ready? But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I want to highlight a few phrases in this passage for you. It's an enormous passage. I hope you'll spend time thinking about it, maybe even memorizing it this week and beyond. But the first thing I want to really focus on is the very essence of why we call this ministry regeneration. So listen to this phrase. It simply says, and I'm going to put a couple of them together. They won't be in order. And you were dead. You were dead. I was dead. We were dead. And you were dead, but God made us alive together with Christ. That's the essence of regeneration. When we come here together tonight, I want you to understand what we're not talking about. We are not talking about rehab. We are not talking about a rehabilitated life. We instead are talking about a resurrected life. You were dead. I was dead. We were dead. If you've not come yet to a place of trusting in Jesus, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. But God, in his rich kindness, made us alive together with Christ. We're not talking in Regen about new behaviors, but we're talking about being an entirely new being. We were dead and now we're made alive. Now, how did this happen? What is going on here? I want to focus on a second key phrase, and this comes to us from verse 8. It says simply this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Let's focus on the first part of this. You have been saved. You ever wonder what that means? I was born in 1965, so yes, I am old. And I remember as a kid, and just when I began to read, like in the early 70s, I began to see t-shirts and bumper stickers and even belts that read, Jesus saves. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds cool. Like, Jesus, I think, is a cool person, but what does it mean that he saves? In other words, Jesus saves us from what? If you look at the first part of this text, you see four things that Jesus saves us from. Jesus, first and foremost, saves us from death. We are spiritual beings. God created us to have a spiritual life which lasts forever, and yet Jesus saves us from spiritual death, meaning dead people can't respond to stimulus. You and I cannot respond to God apart from Jesus saving us. He saves us from death. The second thing he saves us from is from sins and trespasses in which we once walked. The idea of walking means you live perpetually in sin. Maybe that's why you're here tonight. If so, you've come to the right place and you've come among the right people. Maybe you're here because you say, I'm stuck. I don't want to keep living this way, but I can't seem to stop struggling with this specific sin. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Not only that, he came to save us from Satan. This idea of the prince of the power of the air in whom we once walked is an allusion to Satan, that fallen angel who is a cruel master. I look around the world today and even had conversations this day that make me think I hate Satan. He's so mean. He's so cruel. He's got such evil intentions. And if you are enslaved to Satan apart from Jesus, I can promise you things aren't going to end well. They may go well for a season, but he's cruel and he's about your harm. He means you no good. You don't want him to be your master. Not only did Jesus save us from death, sin, and Satan, he ultimately saved us from the very wrath of God. That's a big deal. You ever stopped and thought about the wrath of God? You ever thought how powerful God is? You ever seen manifestations of his power? I don't know where you were this weekend, but one of the nights it was raining so hard and it felt like the whole house was gonna blow over. And I've got this little part of the front part of my house where I can go, and I love watching night skies, and it's a little bit protected from the rain. So I went outside in the middle of the storm. It sounds more dramatic than it was. I was well protected until a bolt of lightning hit a few blocks over, where your hair stands up on the back of your neck even before you see the lightning bolt, and then bam, simultaneously you see the bolt and you hear the thunder and there's sizzling, and I think, okay, that's enough. I'm going back inside my house. Imagine the God who created that and the power and the misery and the horror of his wrath. And yet Jesus has saved us from sin, from death, from Satan, and from the wrath of God. How did this happen? We have been saved by grace through faith. God in his grace means undeserved love. God in his grace made a way for us as he made us alive with Christ. It has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus being the second member of the Trinity, eternally God the Son, took on human form. He lived the only perfect life that's ever been lived. The life that you and I could never live, Jesus lived. And then he went to the cross and he took our sin upon himself. On the cross, Jesus died to pay the penalty for your indifference towards God, your rebellion towards God, and being the blameless, spotless sacrifice in our place. He absorbed the wrath of God that you and I deserve to experience. And not only that, he also broke the power of sin over us. And here's the good news. We just sang about it. Aren't you glad? Jesus isn't enshrined in a tomb somewhere. Jesus has risen bodily, physically from the grave. He is alive at the right hand of God the Father. And one day he'll come and he'll rule forever. And so by grace, we are saved through the work of Jesus. You and I can receive his righteousness. We can be forgiven from sin. We can be freed from sin. And the way that we receive the grace of God is like the way we receive any undeserved gift. We open our hands and receive it by faith. Are you trusting in Jesus tonight? Three components to trust. The first one is awareness. Three components to faith. The first thing is being aware. Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand that you and I, as this text just read, are sinners before God, deserving of his wrath, dead, spiritually dead, but God in his grace has made a way available to us through Jesus? Do you accept that as true? That's the second component. You're aware. The second thing is you accept that that's true. Do you believe that's true tonight? If so, that's good, but that's not enough. Because scripture tells us even the demons believe and shudder before God. Here's the third piece of it. Are you ready to take action? Are you ready to trust Jesus? Are you ready to step out and trust him personally? Are you ready tonight to say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you did what the Bible said you did. And accordingly, I am willing to give myself to you entirely. I am going to trust myself to you. I'm going to turn away from living independent from you. That's called repentance. And turn towards you and trust you to save me, to change me, to transform me. Have you done that tonight? If you have, are you willing to trust him with everything? I was at the welcome desk a few weeks ago, and this gentleman came up to me and he pled with me and simply asked me, can I use your phone so I can call my wife? My group was let out late and I just need to let her know I'm gonna be home a little bit late tonight. May I borrow your phone? I was aware of the fact that he had a need that I could meet. I accepted what he said was true, and then the decision was up to me. Would I trust him? I've read online about all the scams of lending somebody your phone. He could have grabbed everything that was mine and run out the door. I don't know how far he would have gotten because we have an excellent security team, but he might have made it a little ways. And I handed him my phone. And he took a few steps away, called his wife, said he'd be home in a minute, and he handed me my phone back. That's what trust looks like. Are you trusting Jesus tonight? Are you trusting him with your salvation? Have you come to that point in your spiritual journey that this verse describes where you're saying, I receive your grace, God. I don't deserve it, but I receive your grace, your mercy through the person and work of Jesus. I trust myself to you. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I can't earn your favor. I give up. I turn from that way of life, and instead, I trust you. Would you trust him tonight? Would you trust him tonight with your sin? Maybe you can say, I've come to this place in my life and I've trusted him, but yet I still struggle with sin. The Bible says that's the way we all live. And I have this besetting sin, whatever it is. Maybe that's what brings you to Regen, this persistent struggle. Will you trust him with that tonight? As I shared with you in my opening introduction, I'm in recovery from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. So let's suppose tonight I'm really tired when I get home. And let's suppose tonight, in being tired and being a little bit worn down, I think to myself, you know, it'd be really great tonight is just a really stiff nightcap. That would be just great for me. Will I trust Jesus with that struggle? Will I trust that Jesus is enough to comfort me in that moment that I don't have to seek comfort anywhere? Are you willing to trust Jesus with your sin? Or maybe this talk has just bumped. And maybe you're gonna line up afterwards rather than saying, hey, that was really helpful, Dave, to say, hey, bro, maybe you shouldn't be up there anymore. That was not good. And so I go home completely dejected and feeling like I need acceptance. So maybe the thought is maybe I should just go online and hit a few websites and look at pornography because maybe somehow, some way that will make me feel accepted and desirable. Will I trust Jesus with my sin in that moment to say, Jesus, your acceptance is enough? And through your acceptance and through your love and through your righteousness, I'm going to trust you so that I don't continue down this path of sin. Will you trust Jesus with your sin tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you think, that's really not my problem. I have come to this place where I've trusted Jesus. I believe in him. I'm leaning in on him and he's helping me overcome sin and yet I'm suffering. I'm hurting. It's hard for me to believe that God is for me. It's hard for me to believe that God is not far away. Will you give that to Jesus tonight? Will you trust him? Because in Jesus, God is making it very clear. He's for us. His grace is ours. If he didn't withhold his only son from us, what is he not willing to give us? He's for us. And even in your suffering, he's not far away. He's close. Will you trust Jesus tonight? Will you trust him for your salvation? Will you trust him with your sin? Will you trust him in your suffering? I want to invite somebody to share her story tonight who has trusted Jesus in her life. Will you join me in welcoming Natalie Cox as she comes and shares with us this morning?